A very, very happy Easter to all of you. But let's just go back a few days. The little band of Jesus' followers had no idea what was going on. A raggedy little band, just 12 men and a handful of women. Everyone else had deserted Jesus. The great crowds who'd shouted Hosanna as he rode into Jerusalem, they had no idea what was going on either. Later, their cries turned to crucify him, crucify. The thousands in Galilee who'd hung on his words and celebrated his miracles, they were just a distant memory. The little band, they alone had stayed with Jesus more or less to the end. Most had run away, just as Jesus had said they would, rather than face the end. Judas Iscariot had betrayed him to the religious authorities. Peter, the chosen one, the so-called rock, had denied 3 times he ever knew Jesus. He was to hear the cock crow and, remembering, go out to weep bitterly. Perhaps only Mary, his mother, and John, his beloved disciple, had stayed with him to the very end, and a few others who crept out to give his body a hasty burial. Where had they all gone when they fled for their lives? Most of them went to hide in the upper room, the safe place in Jerusalem where they'd eaten the Last Supper. The Roman authorities would deal with any threat to their power ruthlessly, so they fled and locked themselves in, terrified that they might be arrested and crucified. After a little time, some of them hoped to sneak away back to Galilee, back to obscurity, because they knew it was all over. Their high hopes of a new and godly rule overcoming the Romans, reestablishing an independent Israel, that had come to nothing. What was there left to do? Slip away, hoping not to be noticed. They were all afraid. The women had more guts than the men. They could do nothing but weep on the Sabbath, but early on the Sunday morning, they crept out before dawn to honor the body properly, to anoint it decently with spices and herbs. At least he deserved that, the man they'd trusted and loved, but whom they must have seen now as misguided, a failure. But they took the risk of leaving their safe place, although they were terrified too. Most of the gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus are surrounded by amazement, terror, fear, and confusion. St. Mark gives the earliest gospel account. He tells us that Mary Magdalene with other women came early to the tomb. As they walked, they wondered who would roll away the stone in front of the tomb. When they got there, they found the stone already rolled away and a young man in white sitting inside the tomb. St. Mark tells us that they were amazed. The old translation says, affrighted, frightened. When the young man had told them that Jesus was not there because he'd risen, they went away trembling with fear. St. Matthew recognizes the fear. The first words of the angel to the women are, "Do not be afraid," but they run away. Then suddenly Jesus meets them, and his words too are, "Do not be afraid, go and tell my disciples." St. Luke tells us that the women go and tell the disciples what they've seen and heard, but the raggedy little band are shocked and dismiss the idea as nonsense. When Jesus appears to them in the upper room, still locked for fear of the authorities, they are, St. Luke says, startled and terrified and think they're seeing a ghost until he reassures them and eats with them some fish. The account from St. John's Gospel we just heard told us of the beloved disciple's hesitation before going into the tomb. He fears what he will find. And we hear of Mary Magdalene's wretched sadness as she stands by the tomb weeping. "Do not be afraid," says the angel. "Do not be afraid," says Jesus. But of course they are. The disciples have at least three good reasons to be afraid. They're afraid for their lives. At any moment, they could be arrested, tried, and condemned to a dreadful death. They fear an uncertain future, the unexpected, the unknown. And they must also surely know that they have let Jesus down. If they think he's let them down, they've let him down too. They feel guilty and ashamed and fear at least his disappointment, if not something worse. During his enthronement 10 days ago, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, recalled another occasion when Jesus had said to his followers, "Do not be afraid." He remembered the moment when Jesus had called Peter to walk towards him across the water, across the Sea of Galilee. At first, Peter had done so, but then his faith failed him and he began to sink. St. Matthew tells us that he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" There are good reasons in this life to doubt, to be of little faith, just as there are good reasons in this life to be afraid. Many people in our world face the future with uncertainty and fear the unexpected, the unknown. Many people in our world live with the effects of the harm others have done them or the harm they have done others. Many people in our world suffer the effects of violence and insurrection, the loss of homes and livelihoods, the breakdown of familiar landmarks, and the loss of civilization, the suffering and death of children and parents, relations and friends. Into the reality of this fear and suffering, we hear the words of Jesus, "Do not be afraid." The Jesus who speaks these words to us today speaks with authority. He has faced his own fear. "Father, let this cup pass me by, yet not my will but yours be done." This is the apparently defeated and dejected Jesus who was betrayed and denied, flogged and mocked, nailed to the cross. This is the Jesus who experienced so powerfully not only his physical suffering, but also the spiritual agony of separation from his loving Father. The Jesus who cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you let me suffer like this?" This same Jesus who suffered and died is the Jesus whose resurrection from the dead we celebrate today. There may be good reasons for fear. And the fear reaction in humans and other creatures exists to protect us. But Jesus says to us, "Do not be afraid." His beloved disciple was later to acknowledge the one thing that can and does drive away fear. "God is love," he said. "And those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected in us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Perfect love casts out fear. The only perfect love is God's love. God's love so intense, so powerful, so creative, God's love for the creation, God's love for humanity, the love that conquers sin and death, the love that brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love is what makes fear almost irrelevant, robs it of any meaning. In the Apostles' Creed, which we say here every day and which expresses the basis of our faith, there is a clause not often discussed, but that I believe is powerfully meaningful. It comes after the familiar words about Jesus Christ, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. These are the words: he descended into hell. The creed goes on to express what we celebrate today: the third day he rose again from the dead. But think of that. He descended into hell. That speaks of what happened during the time between Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. He descended into hell. The power of those words is that the sin and death that seems so often to have the ultimate victory, and which casts such a long and terrifying shadow over so many lives, are themselves defeated. Jesus can go with his offer of salvation even to the lost souls of every time, those sunk in sin and whelmed with grief. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, a victory confirmed by his glorious resurrection, offers new life and fresh hope to everyone. It took a little time, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, that raggedy little band of people who'd locked themselves away, fearing for their lives, became the ones who risked everything, even death itself, to proclaim to the whole world that their beloved Lord and Savior was truly alive. Were it not for them and the power of what they proclaimed, we would not be here this morning. We would never have heard the good news. Thank God for that raggedy and fearful band. May God bless us and empower us too, however raggedy and fearful we each may feel, to believe and trust in the love of God that conquers everything. Hear these words of St. Paul. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So do not be afraid. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.